Hello.
I sure hope you can hear me now.
I can hear you now. How are you?
Perfect. I'm fantastic. You're making me feel underdressed.
Oh, really? Oh, well, I wanted to look pretty for you, Posse.
It. I love it. I'm just joking.
Nice to see you.
You too.
And I'm so sorry I was late. Yeah, just constant competing priorities, as I'm sure you can relate to.
I totally understand. Life of a business owner. I see the silver play button in the back.
Yeah, I hit
Congratulations on,
what am I?
yeah,
Thank you. I'm sitting at about,
250K.
yeah. So that's been a lot of fun.
That's good. Are you in Mexico right now?
I am.
Where in Mexico?
The West Coast, just north of Puerto Vallarta.
Nice. One of our reps is in Puerto Vallarta right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, he loves it.
Living and
Yeah.
working?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's
Yeah.
working from there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. We're having a ball.
When did you move there?
Last we left Canada Day weekend, so July 1st, that weekend, last year, 2022. So
Okay.
it's been just over a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you miss Canada?
No.
I didn't think so.
I miss people,
Yeah.
and I miss the mountains. I miss the nature, but the nature here is so spectacular that it makes up for it.
Okay.
And I certainly didn't miss, the long cold winters. I'm originally from Montreal, Quebec in the east, but I had
French.
been living in Western Canada, which we left Calgary, Alberta, and the winters there are brutal
Yeah, no, I bet.
in
How
my
close is that to
view.
Kelowna?
About 3 hours.
Okay. So is it in it's British Columbia, right?
No, Calgary is in Alberta, the next province over. It's
Oh,
just
okay.
the other side. Like we were 40 minutes, where we lived was 40 minutes east of the Rock Canadian Rockies.
Cool. Wow.
Yeah, so Kelowna's on the other side of the Rockies.
You know, I was speaking to my wife. I was like, I really like the mountains more than I like the beach. Yeah. We live in Fort Lauderdale in Florida, and it's just flat. Everything's flat. And summers are brutal, and winters are bearable. Like 70 degrees and 80 degrees in the winter, and summer's like 120. Like, we're getting heat waves every single day.
I know it's intense. We're hibernating in the air conditioning, right? Like
Yeah.
that's my life now in Mexico because
Oh,
it's
really?
August, very humid here,
Interesting.
and this time of year in particular. So yeah.
I thought Puerto
And
Vallarta
I'm
was
not.
like was less humid, like it's like California weather, no?
Where?
In Puerto
Say that
Vallarta.
again. Well, I've only spent a little bit of time in California. I would imagine the weather's pretty similar. But I can't say from experience. Like I've just traveled through a few
Okay.
times. It's hot and humid. Not unbearably so as far as I'm concerned, but as long as you have air conditioning and a pool and a beach, it's manageable, right? I wouldn't want to do it without an air conditioned home and an air conditioned vehicle, that's for sure. As I'm sure you can relate to, right? So, yeah, but I swore I wouldn't complain about the heat when we moved here, having left the 8 month long Alberta winters behind me. I'm like, I will not complain about the heat, and I
You're
don't.
gonna love the winters here, so that's for sure.
Well, we just went through our first one. And the thing about, missing Canada, like I said, it's the people more than anything, but
Yeah.
everybody wants to come to Mexico. So we spent from December through to April, literally, with a nonstop revolving door of visitors. They didn't
Okay.
all stay with us. Many of
Okay.
them stayed in, resorts close to us because where we live, there's lots of resorts. And many of them stayed with us, but it was just a nonstop revolving door of people coming to visit.
Damn.
So,
Did you buy a
we
house?
learned, not yet. We're debating between here and another part of Mexico, and we decided we'd take a year or two to get to know the lay of the land before making a commitment to a property. We're
Okay.
really happy where we are. We live in a beautiful gated community on a golf course, 2 minutes to the beach. Like
That's
it's, we're,
sick.
it's,
Does
yeah, it is
your
really.
partner golf?
Well, yeah, more now than he used to.
Oh,
He had
man.
golfed, but not, as a lifestyle. But
Yeah.
now he's really into it because we, step out, like,
You
yeah,
might as
he's
well.
on a golf course, right? So,
Yeah. No, I
yeah, so
started
he's
golfing
loving
ever
it.
since I moved to Florida. Ever since I
And
moved here, like golf and cigars.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And are you getting any good?
Oh, I'm actually really good. I broke 80 the other day.
Oh,
like
wow.
yeah, I started like 2.5 years ago, but I've just been playing like 20 hours a week. Like I'll go out 3-4 times. A little too much, honestly. It's so upset. Like, you just get really obsessed with it. That's the problem. Because you think you can get good, and then you're just like, why? Why isn't it working? Like, it was literally working the other day. Like, it was perfect the other day, and now it's not. Why?
It's very psychological, isn't it?
100%. Yeah. I would say it's like 85-90% psychological, because it's like how you manage your time in practicing and how you practice.
Yeah.
You know, because you can just get injured so quick if you overdo it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I found. But
yeah.
How does it feel having a wealthy mind?
It feels really good, to be honest with you. It feels really good and, oddly enough, very normal.
Yeah.
You know, like, it just becomes this, well, it's just the norm
It's
now,
just a way to
right?
be.
It just, yeah. And of course, as happy as I am, I'm very much about, you know, really residing in the present moment. Like, I am very conscious of that, but at the same time, very ambitious and driven. So there's always, of course, the next level, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, and all that involves, right? So it's really this ongoing evolution and becoming that we get to play in when we really embrace these principles, right? So
absolutely. Hey,
yeah,
I was it's funny, I was just looking through like the messages we had back in 2020.
Yeah.
It's so different. It's really crazy to think about, because back then you were like, oh, you know, I'm kind of doing 5 to 10K a month, and you were like kind of stuck with YouTube, what, less than 1,000 subscribers?
I think I would have been, yeah. Well, yeah, at that time, definitely, because I remember specifically the beginning of 2020, I was sitting at 75 subs when I made a decision to get some help in that regard. So it took a while for there to be traction and growth. So yeah.
Right. So, okay, let's wind back to 2020. Why did you, what made you like, okay, so you were invested in, what made you get into online business? You know, like, what made you get into this space doing coaching?
Well, that started long before 2020. So really, you know, the honest answer is I really wanted to build the Freedom Laptop lifestyle, period. Like, that was the main driver. So I got, you know, into the digital world, trying to learn about digital marketing, affiliate marketing, network marketing as it related to social media marketing. And I was sort of rolling around in that world, trying to figure things out and trying to figure out how to create the Freedom Laptop lifestyle. Prior to that, I had sold residential real estate with Remax for 20 years in Montreal. And as such, I had worked with a lot of life coaches myself.
Okay.
So in the background, there had always been, I'd been told for years, you should be coaching. And it had always been there sort of in the background. But the truth is, it started with, I just want to be able to work from anywhere with my laptop and a Wi-Fi connection. Like, that concept was just like big to me, right? Very appealing. So it started with that. And at a certain point, I was working with a mentor in 2017 to improve my marketing skills.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and said, I had just given him $5,000 US that I barely had to give at the time. And he looked at me on a coaching call in front of a large number of people and said, what are you doing in affiliate marketing? You're a coach. You need to be coaching. And I'm not working with you until you get on path, on purpose, and on mission, and do what you need to do, right? So he sort of gave me the kick in the butt that I needed to overcome the limiting beliefs. And it was like, oh, okay. And I knew he was right. I knew he was right. But then it was like, well, what does that even mean? Like, I'm a coach, but, you know, like, and then it was, you know, the journey of putting all of that together. So it's been quite a process of becoming the me I was always intended to be, is the way that I put it now, because there's a certain element of my work where I'm helping my clients do that, right? Becoming the you came to the planet to be, right? So,
right. Yeah. So what do you do? Like, what do you coach currently? Or what have you
been
coaching?
I'm most well known for codependency and narcissistic abuse healing and recovery.
Okay.
there came a point in my journey where it was, you know, it was very clear that I had to get very specific in terms of who I served, how, and what exact problem I solved for them. And the most painful problem I had ever solved in my own life was this. And I knew I had mastery because of what I had come through and just the whole journey and where I was. I knew I had mastery. So I knew if I had to be specific, because up to that point of making that decision, I launched the signature program around this in 2018. So up to that point, I was sort of very, you know, just trying to figure that, all of that out, right? Who am I as a coach and what does that mean? And then, you know, that led to codependency and narcissistic abuse healing and recovery. So I've been running a digital transformational coaching program called the Freedom Class, specific to those issues, very successfully since 2018. So, And since Reality Mastery with significantly more and more success. So,
What made you mentioned that, you know, like you were doing a lot of these different things. You knew initially, because I think this is so important to see, like how this journey of clarity evolved. You were doing so many different things and you knew, you had a vague idea that I want to live the laptop lifestyle, and you pursued it. And so you jumped in into affiliate marketing and digital marketing, and you knew you wanted to do marketing because marketing would help you sell, go online, live the laptop lifestyle. And then you had kind of like, as you pursued that, it's interesting to see, your environment gave you feedback that you should go into the direction of coaching, which is different from just marketing. So then you were like, okay, if I go into coaching, I'm going to pick something that I resonate with, that I've mastered and that I'm passionate about. Right. So doesn't that seem kind of crazy? Like how that evolves?
Unless you've actually lived the journey, you can't even articulate to someone what that is, the process of becoming through all of that, right?
Right.
And figuring it out, even though there's no end to the information and, you know, coaches and marketers, marketing to marketers out there.
Coaches coaching coaches to coach other coaches.
Right? Exactly, right? It's quite a thing to because it's, I think one of the primary reasons it's such a big deal is because in order to be any good, you've got to be coming from, like you said, you know, passion, but also purpose. You know, it's about digging deep and, you know, why am I here? Who am I meant to serve? You know, and for me, you know, although the answers were quite obvious, there was still a fair bit of digging around all of that. Also, I think that sometimes we could go in a number of different directions. So how do you know which direction is the right direction, right? And for me, that was a lot of internal work to figure that out. Yeah.
What I saw in you though, Tammy, it's like you always trusted in your ability to figure it out, you know? Even through moments of doubt, you were just like, okay, I'm going to take this leap and do it. And this is like the common quality that I see in all, like everyone who's become successful. They're like, hey, I don't know. And I don't know if I should invest in this coaching, but I know that I got to find the answers and someone else might know it. And I think I have a faint feeling that this person might know it or that person might know it. Fuck it. I'm just going to take the leap and try it out. Let's see what happens. You know, like you're not so like you look at the fear of failure dead in the eyes and you're like, you know what? If it happens, it happens. If I fail, I'm going to learn something. But eventually you operate from the fundamental assumption that success is going to happen. And therefore it does, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, working with everything that comes up inside of you as you make those decisions, you know, like at a certain point, when we first connected in 2020, I was hovering between the 5 and 10K mark, but internally I was becoming the person who was, you know, my first goal at that point was to consistently hit 20K months, right? Yeah. I think when you and I first started talking. Mm-hmm. So it was really about embodying that person. Like, who do I have to become in order for me to call that experience out of the ether? And understanding, you know, the metaphysics of, you know, there's a certain amount of understanding around, you know, how that works, of course. But dealing with the limiting beliefs as they come up, dealing with all of the mindset stuff, the feel, you know, really being willing to be in touch with what's going on inside of us, because it's so easy to run from, ignore, bypass, especially when you're in the digital world, you know, if and to be disconnected from all of that, right? So
yeah. If you don't mind sharing, I would love to know why you got into this, because you said you had a story, you overcame that narcissistic codependency issues. If you don't mind sharing, like how did that happen, like in the past, and like what really made you become so passionate about this, and what makes you so good at this?
Well, I don't believe it's the only reason I'm on the planet. I think there's an evolution. So I believe that I'm, you know, there's more to the story, but to this point, and why I'm most well known for that to this point, I believe it's why I came to the planet. It's why I was born to the parents that I was born to. It was why I was born into the family of origin that I landed in, and why I, you know, to a large degree had the experiences that I did. So, you know, fundamentally, my parents were, I was born in 1969 to, you know, a 17 and 21 year old who had no business having children. They both came from, you know, generations of alcoholism, poverty, and extreme levels of abuse, like extreme levels of abuse. So the family, my parents and both sides of the families were, you know, what I mean, my language today, which is very accurate, were emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually very sick. So I was the first grandchild born into that system, abandoned to my father's grandmother, to my father's mother, my grandmother, thank God she raised me, because the alternatives would have been much worse. But it meant that, you know, the fundamental theme of my upbringing was I was cast as the family scapegoat at a very young age in a very narcissistic family. So there was not just abandonment and neglect on every level, although my physical needs were met. You know, I was raised on by my grandmother on her welfare check. So it's not like, you know, there was a lot of resources, but I was never hungry. There was always a birthday party. There were Christmas presents under the tree. I had a roof over my head. You know, I was bullied in school because, of course, she dressed me funny in secondhand clothes and cut my hair funny and, you know, all the things. There's a lot about your story that I relate to, you know, in terms of some of the challenges we've experienced and what that created, what that fortified in us, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was bullied in elementary school and by certain members of my family of origin. So there was emotional, psychological, physical, and sexual abuse growing up as a child. Damn. My grandmother was fully incapable of protecting me in the ways that I needed to be protected. And my parents were absent. They were busy off doing their own things. So a very sick family of origin with a lot of their own unresolved issues had unfettered access to me. And that made me a really good target for a lot of things. And I believe I landed on the planet with certain things in terms of high empathy and certain frequencies. And, you know, it's usually, in my view, opinion, and experience, the person who's cast as the family scapegoat in a sick family system and is narcissistically abused starting at such a young age, which sets us up for the patterns in adult life.
Yeah.
It's usually the person who carries the most light in the family. It's usually the person who calibrates at a different frequency. And it's not a value issue. We all have value. This isn't about special. But the person who is going to be selected is, you know, and targeted in that fashion is more often than not the person who sees the dysfunction for what it is a truth speaker, is going to call it out, is going to push back, is going to rebel, and also might have some qualities in terms of empathy and compassion and love and kindness and care and concern that other members of a narcissistic family don't possess. And that's very triggering for people like that. So all of that was, you know, a decades long journey that ultimately led me to the place of, you know, who am I here to serve and how? And that was, you know, the one area where I knew I could have the most impact. And I have, like, it's shocking to me, you know, how this has turned out. 5 years of running this specific program. I've recently launched another program, but, you know, the Freedom Class specific to those issues, I've had a couple of dozen 20 plus year veteran family psychotherapists come through my program for help with these issues. I earlier this year worked privately with a doctor of psychiatry out of New York. I've had other PhDs in psychology come to me for help with these issues. And what each one of them report to me is that what I teach was not part of their training. What I do that gets results was not part of their training. They don't know how to address these issues for themselves, never mind their clients. Right. And that's not to say there aren't tremendous therapists out there, because there are.
Right.
And I'm not a clinician. I'm a life coach specializing in these issues. So it's two different lanes. And I tell my clients that all the time. No, many of my clients work.
Do you have like a actual training in therapy or like degrees in therapy or anything? No, right?
None whatsoever. What I do is I teach everything that worked for me. So by the time I was in my early 20s, I knew something was really wrong. I mean, I had been a teenage runaway. I was drinking and drugging alcoholically from the time I was 13. There was a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I started on a quest for answers in my early 20s. And therapist after therapist after therapist didn't know how to help me. And that journey, I never gave up. I was hungry for wellness, right? And so Tony Robbins environment, workshops, seminars, life coaches, therapist. I mean, you name it, 12 step. I went down every avenue that I could, no stone left unturned, and ultimately found solutions that did actually work. And I realized that what was wrong with me, I was trying to figure out what the hell is wrong with me. What was wrong with me was what had happened to me. And I found solutions that worked.
Okay.
And worked fast and well. And eventually that led to me creating a program where I teach everything that worked for me historically, and it works for my clients.
What's the big transformation you provide your clients
with the Freedom Class program that I've been running since 2018? It is healing and recovery from codependency, narcissistic abuse, and adult child syndrome. So those three specific issues, and there's overlap there with all three, but they are three distinct lanes, although there is overlap.
Let me ask you this: when someone goes through the kind of experience that you've been through, or suffers those three things, what are the symptoms that they face that let them know that, oh, this is what I'm going through, this is why this is happening? What are the symptoms that they face that help you identify them as like, oh, this is what's happening?
Well, there's a lot of ways that this can manifest. Not least of which, a pattern of attracting empathy impaired, toxic emotional manipulators who not only hurt them, but then blame them for the hurt they cause. So I don't actually work, I used to, but I don't anymore work with anyone under 40. What I've learned over the years is that I do my best work actually with women over 50, although I do work with some men, and we've decided 40 plus is our benchmark. And the reason for that is what I learned in the first few years is that until you reach a certain place, you probably aren't ready to do the work that, you know, very few people in their 20s and 30s are ready to do the kind of work that I do with my clients in my program. That's just my opinion based on my experience. And the first, you know, again, to answer your question, the first sign for many of my clients is recognizing, okay, there's a pattern going on here, which is very much what my experience was too. And although I'm not responsible for their behavior, I'm the common denominator. So I can break up with or divorce or walk away from however many, but the exact same thing or worse shows up in the next person, different body, different face, same pattern. So what's going on with me that's the pattern that I'm attracting? So that's one of the main...
I love that you say that. because that's what I've been noticing happens with, like, because I've worked with over 1,000 clients, and mm-hmm. you know, a certain type of person keeps attracting a certain kind of circumstance. What's the common denominator in all of these same circumstances that you keep attracting?
Right.
It's hard to face that in the mirror. You know, it's hard to look in the mirror and be like, hey, there is something that I'm putting out there that's bringing this certain circumstance into my life. Yeah. And I've also noticed a lot that people who are kind of like people pleasers, and you're the expert at this, they tend to attract a lot of narcissists. It's like they kind of almost, even though initially the relationship isn't kind of like that, it evolves into that over time. Do you find that that happens?
Absolutely. Hmm. Absolutely. There's a match there, right? So, you know, fundamentally, the way that I see it, like that my lens is the experiences that we had in the first 5 to 7 years of life set us up with subconscious programming, subconscious patterns. And we go out into the world in our adult lives seeking certain things, mm-hmm. but subconsciously it's like a, you know, psycho-cybernetics, right? Yeah. It's like a heat-seeking missile seeking what is an emotional, psychological, spiritual, energetic, vibrational match to the unresolved wounding and trauma from the first zero to, you know, conception, really, to, you know, 7 years, right? So
you think it's 0 to 7 years?
That's correct.
Like even because I always thought before 4 years old, you'd know, you're just like, you can't even form memories. Like you don't have conscious memories. It's all like completely subconscious. So you think even those experiences affect?
Well, it's all subconscious. What we're absorbing for the first 7 years from conception, what you're marinating in for 9 months in your mother's womb is programming you, right? So it's all subconscious. And it's not about conscious memory. It has very little to do with conscious memory. You know, we say 95% of the game of life is subconscious. Yeah. Well, some will say actually it's more like 98.5% of the game of life is subconscious, right? Very small percentage is conscious. So, you know, we may consciously want a healthy relationship with, you know, a romantic partner, a spouse, or anyone else. Because if the pattern's playing out, it's usually not just romantically. It's showing up in you know, all areas of our life or a number of areas.
Bosses, friends.
Neighbors, you know, in-laws. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So, you know, I'm the common denominator. So I, you know, by changing what's going on inside of me, I'm not necessarily changing them, but I am changing what is compelled towards me and what I am compelled towards. So as I shift, the empathy impaired, toxic, emotional manipulator who feels entitled to hurt me and blame me for the hurt they inflict, the hurt they cause, tend to fall away, and space is now made for much healthier to show up in my life. But it's all internal, right? So I'm not sure if I answered your question there. We kind of went, but yeah, it's what we receive in the first, you know, 5 to 7 years of life sets us up with that programming. So we go out into the world consciously thinking we're looking for this, when the big driver is the wounded inner child who is still trying to get their needs met from mommy or daddy and or whatever primary caretakers. Whoever the primary caretakers were, and therefore you're going to be compelled to, until you resolve those issues and learn to become the generative source of love and validation and self-esteem and all the things for
internally
yourself,
generated rather than seeking externally.
Exactly. You're going to be compelled towards people who are an emotional, psychological, spiritual, energetic, vibrational match to the original family of origin, wounding and trauma.
Wow.
Over and over and over. And in my case, because I grew up the way that I did, I didn't have mommy and daddy.
Yeah.
They were absent, although there were some experiences there, more with my father and my stepmother. But I had a whole fleet of folks who were, you know, had access to me in ways that they probably should not have, and had influence over me and effect on me in ways that they shouldn't have. So when I got into dating and adult relationships, I went through a period where I attracted an external representation of that one and 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 that one. And when I did my work, one of the things that we do in my program, one of the many things, the ways that we go after this, when I did my work, I was able to connect the dots with regards to who these people were representing externally with regards to my unresolved wounding and trauma specific to those people in authority from my childhood, heal those wounds one relationship at a time. And today I am in the happiest, healthiest, most loving, amazing marriage imaginable.
Wow.
Because I was able to do that work,
so,
right?
Okay. So what made you realize, like what happened that made you realize that, wait a second, this is what's happening, this is what's going on, and I need to solve this?
A few things. So mainly that there was a pattern that was playing out in terms of one relationship would end. I would eventually find myself in another dating scenario, which may or may not turn into a relationship, but there was this ongoing pattern. I'm like, look, this should not be hard. Let's say at the time when I started finding solutions that worked, by now I'm in my early to mid 30s. But, you know, for a number of years, I'm like, I'm a successful real estate agent. I have, you know, a home, a cottage on a lake. I'm in excellent shape. I'm, yeah. You know, like I've got on paper, I've got all the things, right?
You got it.
But I cannot get this area of my life to work to save my life.
Mm.
Like, and after, you know, you can blame them all you want. And certainly we're not responsible for how, you know, the shitty way they show up and the things that they do. But when you have a revolving door of those experiences, and over time, you're noticing that they're getting worse. Like by the yeah. time I was getting serious about doing the work, I was attracting full-fledged sociopaths. Like I had two near misses with what were without question high spectrum antisocial personality disordered individuals. I was smart enough to be in and out inside of 6 weeks, but you know, there's a saying in 12 step, left untreated, these issues get worse, not better over time.
Yeah.
Well, these issues get worse, not better over time, left untreated, is not just for, you know, substance abuse issues. That goes for untreated codependency, untreated adult child syndrome, right? That goes for those issues as well. So what was happening with me was, you know, there's another way of putting it, you know, the universe will send you a pebble and then a rock and then a
boulder.
Brick wall fall, right? So yeah. It's that progressive nature. So that was terrifying for me.
Yeah.
As smart as I was, as capable as I was, with all that I brought to the table, that it was getting worse, not better, was terrifying for me. So I was just willing to do whatever it would take to get to the bottom, including remove myself from the dating arena altogether, which is what I did. And I just worked on myself and with every resource that I had available to me and every direction that I was pointed in terms of try this, do that. What I went at it like a full-time job, like my life depended on it, because I felt that the quality of my life definitely did depend on it.
Okay. So if someone were listening to this, that's kind of going through something similar, they're seeing a same pattern of relationships. I guess for you, what's one big 80-20 kind of tool or realization or something that you had for yourself that made an immediate or like a very quick shift in you?
Being willing to remove yourself from, you got to take yourself out of the game so that you can repair the relationship with yourself. My definition of codependency is a breakdown of the relationship with self that then extends to maladaptive ways of relating and behaving to others. The way that we address that in this arena is the wounded inner child healing and recovery work. There's other things also, there's lots of other things,
yep.
But you know, the if I were to say one thing, heal your wounded inner child. That is the game-changing stuff. You know, we are an outside in perspective society and culture, right? We're looking outside for the validation, the evidence, the approval, the love, the acceptance, the safety, the security, all the things. And we have to, we've been sucked into an inverted reality. Mm. And we need to walk out of that inverted reality and meet ourselves and start operating from an inside out perspective. And in order to be able to do that, a lot of people need to be up here instead of down here and operating out there instead of in here, because as soon as they go in here, they start to feel the pain of the untreated, wounded inner child. And that's excruciating for many people. But the only way to heal it is to feel it. So, you know, that is that. If there was one thing, that would be the thing, in my view. There's many other things that can be done, but that's the big one.
You said a lot of people who go through this need to be in here rather than in here.
Think all day long, right? As long as I'm up here, I'm safe. But you can't think your way out of these issues.
Yeah.
You know, people will binge watch my YouTube videos, and I give a lot of strategy and, you know, information, and it helps validate them and their experience, and they're not crazy because they've been so gaslit, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, they question their own perception of reality. They question whether or not they're the narcissist, right? Because they've been so messed with psychologically and so gaslit. So they're gathering the information because it feels good. It's validating.
Yeah.
But it's like 3% of the game. Information is not how we heal. We don't heal in our heads.
Yeah.
We heal by getting out of our heads and coming down into our body and making conscious contact with all those. Always. Exactly. Exactly. Right.
I love that. Yeah. So, okay, one interesting thing I wanted to know was, a lot of people nowadays, I feel like they throw around the word narcissist and gaslighting. Like,
yes,
in modern day and age, like, my wife will get really mad at me one time and she'll call me a narcissist. So what does it mean to be a narcissist or to gaslight someone? What does it really mean?
Great question, because I agree. These words are thrown around with people having very little understanding or comprehension of what, you know, what the implications are. So you don't have to be a doctor of psychiatry to determine whether or not you're dealing with someone who has a destructive narcissist personality pattern. What that means is, by virtue of your personal experience with an individual, you can tell that there is empathy impairment, a lack of conscience to some degree, if not entirely, an overinflated sense of entitlement. Depending on the flavor, because not all narcissists are created equal, not all codependents are created equal. It doesn't always manifest the exact same way. So there are different flavors. There's a grandiose narcissist, there's a covert narcissist, there's inverted narcissism, there's different flavors. So, you know, a covert narcissist does not in any way, shape, or form present as grandiose, quite the opposite, but they are just as destructive and have just as distorted a perception of themselves, you, the world, as a grandiose narcissist, and just feel just as entitled. So the earmarks are empathy impairment, lacking in conscience to whatever degree. There's a spectrum here, right? So these are not black or white issues. It's like being pregnant.
On or off, like, yeah, it's a scale.
Selfish and self-centered to the extreme.
Okay.
Completely self-absorbed, even high functioning, you know, and there are, you know, many who are very high functioning in life. Some of them hold great positions of leadership around our world, right? Full blown, what I would call super sociopaths, right? So whether or not they are able to function is not the point, but there is a colossal level of emotional immaturity. Like, you are really fully dealing with, no matter how high functioning they may be, whether they're grandiose or covert, regardless, there's a level of emotional immaturity there that is glaring. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, you mentioned, like, selfishness. What's the opposite of narcissism? Like, the qualities that, you know, the people who you work with, they attract narcissists. What's that called?
Empaths, to use very, okay. So there's, you know, it's people of a high empathy nature.
Okay.
And when you combine that with untreated adult child syndrome and therefore untreated codependency, so a person with codependency,
yes,
who is also high, because narcissists are codependent,
yeah,
they require a target, right? They require a target. They require someone to siphon from and yeah, dump onto, right? So that's a form of codependency also. So the codependency can go both ways. But when you combine an individual with, you know, a certain level of naivete, a highly empathic nature, and codependency,
yeah,
that's a lethal combination in terms of being a narcissist lunch, in terms of being set up for being exploited in many ways.
Do you think empaths are also selfish?
Well, they certainly can be. And untreated codependents will have narcissistic traits.
Because I always thought like that people-pleasing quality, it's like,
yeah,
you need validation to feed your ego. And so you seek it outside, whereas like the narcissist, they seek it like, they also seek it outside, but in just an inverted way.
Well, what you're speaking to there is, yeah, And I say this to my clients all the time, and they get it because we have the space to go into it deeply. But, you know, what you're speaking to there is the codependent traits that an untreated, the narcissistic traits that an untreated codependent will have. The narcissistic traits that an untreated codependent will have. So here's the thing. This is the best way I know how to explain this, because it's hard to wrap your brain around it all, because our tendency is to want to put things in neat little boxes and think in black and white.
Yeah.
But these are not black or white issues. There's a continuum. There's a spectrum. There's different flavors. There's some overlap, right? So we're all narcissists. We're all narcissists.
Yeah.
That's
what I figured.
Until here's the thing, but we're not all malevolent.
Right.
We're not all lacking in empathy. We're not all devoid of conscience. We don't all walk around with a feeling of entitlement. More than anything, we're not all walking around, you know, with malevolent intent.
Right.
But a person with a destructive narcissist personality pattern absolutely is.
Right.
Now, whether that's always directed at everybody or just selectively, whether they have selective empathy for their children or their golden children, but not for the scapegoat in the family, right? That's the difference. Like, you know, the malevolent intent driving it. But, you know, at 4 years old, naturally, we are all little narcissists. The entire world revolves around us. We're fully entitled. We're selfish and self-centered. We're emotionally immature, right?
Yeah.
And we ought to be at that age. The thing is some of us evolve beyond that and develop to where, you know, there is healthy self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, if we've been nurtured adequately, we understand where I end and you begin.
Mm-hmm.
So we develop what's called healthy narcissism. In fact, I have a video on this subject on my YouTube channel to help people unpack this. There is such a thing as healthy narcissism.
Mm.
So we develop a healthy sense of self. We are boundaried internally and externally. We have appropriate levels of self-esteem. We have appropriate levels of empathy and compassion and care and concern, and never to our own detriment. We have those things for ourselves, and therefore we can have them for others in a healthy way. The untreated codependent doesn't have a solid identity, doesn't know who they are, doesn't know where they end and others begin. They have all kinds of empathy, but are walking around with a self-love deficit disorder, as I think Ross Rosenberg coined the term, self-love deficit disorder, which is very accurate in terms of untreated codependency. And in that state, they're not a destructive narcissist, but they have underdeveloped narcissism. So there are narcissistic traits, which is why while they're being targeted, they'll say, how do I know I'm not the narcissist? Well, are you deliberately going out with malevolent intent? Never. It's no part of who I am.
Mm.
Right. So you might have untreated codependency that manifests in some narcissistic traits, but you are an empathic person.
So it always comes down to intent.
The intent, the level of conscience, the level of empathy, And other signs are, you know, like I said, entitlement. Yeah.
Yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
We could talk about this all day. This is very interesting stuff. So, okay, let's fast forward. You solve this problem. 2018, you start your program, but now you want to go all in on business. In 2020, what made you take the leap to join Reality Mastery?
I knew that there was, I've been rolling around in personal development and spirituality and metaphysics and quantum physics and all the things for a long time. I'm a little bit older than you, right? So I've been rolling around in all of that stuff for a long, long time. And I knew that I had subconscious things holding me back from hitting the next level with my business. So, you know, I'm solving this problem. I'm doing it well. Shock to me. I'm actually even working with therapists. Like, obviously what I'm doing is working. I'm getting results, but I can't break that barrier to the next level in terms of consistent earning. And I knew that the game was internal and it was subconscious.
What made you realize that the game was internal and not like an external tactic? Because I think that's like a good determinant, because a lot of people think like, oh, you know, it's an external thing. I got to find the next strategy, the right strategy. And so they keep looking for that. But I feel like
because I had all the strategies. Oh, because I had all the strategies. I was doing all the strategies. I had all the strategies. So it was, I mean, I knew because I've been rolling around in this stuff long enough that I know this stuff well enough that I knew, but it's very,
you have awareness.
It can be difficult. Sorry?
So one thing I noticed about you, Tammy, is like you have this awareness of like, you can notice when you're going through patterns and you're like, oh, okay, this is what I need at this point. I can see this pattern happening. I can't let this happen again. Like that first time that happened, when you overcame that the very first time in your life, you noticed that there was a pattern of relationships happening. But now in your business, there's a pattern happening.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
totally. Very interesting. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, fundamentally, I knew that it was an inside job. I had all the tactics and strategies. I was being mentored by the same people you were being mentored by. I mean, we've been mentored by some of the best in the business. I mean, it doesn't get better than some of these people. And I because I'd been mentored by these people, I knew that it wasn't it wasn't going to be dancing on TikTok that was going to be the big breakthrough. Like, I knew that, you know. And I'd been in business for a long time. I just knew that.
Would you have done it though? Would you have danced on TikTok?
Every now and then I wonder whether or not I shouldn't be on TikTok because I know so many influencers who are doing so well with it, but I'm like, do I really need to go there? And I don't, right? Like I've gotten really good at, you know,
focusing.
Where is my time going?
Yeah.
Yeah. And if I'm going to do anything, if I'm going to do anything more with the socials, which we've got some plans here for this fall, I think there's better places for it to go personally. Will I ever be on TikTok? I don't know, you know, but I knew that that wasn't the thing. I had the strategies, and the tactics and all the trainings that I needed. It was an inside game. And I think that when you're self-aware enough, you can actually feel yourself hitting that invisible ceiling, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, I had read
intuitive enough to notice.
Sorry?
You have to be intuitive enough to notice.
Which is, you know, we all have that capacity. It's a function of just making the decision to get still often enough, consistently enough, right? And being willing to pay attention.
Yeah.
And I've worked really hard at that for a long time, right? So there was that. And honestly, you and I were connected in another community, and I had enough exposure to you that I knew that what you were doing was working, and I knew that I could trust you. So that was the decision.
Okay, so what resonated with you in particular about like what we were doing and like in about Reality Mastery that made you think, okay, that's the thing that I need to break the internal barrier? Because there's so many different kind of ways to work internally, you know.
It was my understanding that you had come up with a system to reprogram the subconscious specific for entrepreneurs who are wanting to take their business to the next level. Yeah. And my problem was exactly what you were solving at that time.
Got it. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
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 I think focus is where it comes down to it. You know, like you focus on solving one problem for one person or a kind of person. And then it makes you get good at it. Whereas if you solve different problems for different people, then you get all scattered. And I think you mentioned that you kind of learned that when you're growing in your journey with your own coaching, like getting down to, hey, only 40 and above women, ideally 50 and above. Yeah. And I feel like doing that kind of thing also makes people trust you more, where you're like, hey, I'm willing to work with people only when they're 40 and 50 and above, and women mostly, as opposed to, you know, everyone. Because when you're like working for everyone, there's like, trust is less.
And it's just a lot harder. Everything's harder, yeah. Right? You can't be all things for all people. I mean, men get mad at me all the time in the comments of my YouTube channel because I mentioned the fact that, you know, I'm a life coach specializing in these issues for women.
Yeah.
And I have all kinds of clients who are men. You're welcome to apply. You're welcome to, you know, take my program if it resonates. It's a self-paced version of the program you can buy directly off of the website. And it works. It gets amazing results. But you know, the reality is the person I get the best results with and the person I enjoy working the most with, we have figured out, right? And yeah. You know, that's what works, and it works really, really well. So Sorry guys, you know, it's like I said, you're welcome to apply. It's not a hard no, but yeah, the emphasis is definitely, you know, leaning in one direction. Yeah.
Yeah, I certainly got a lot of that when I switched from just doing general, like, oh, I'll teach you how to manifest anything, to, hey, I actually enjoy working with entrepreneurs and business owners, because mm-hmm. I am an entrepreneur and business owner, and I had to go through all of these challenges, and this is actually what helped me overcome those challenges. So, you know, that's why I made the switch, and I get a lot of people who are like students, like in other areas of life, relationships especially. We're like, hey, why don't you work with, you know, people with these kind of problems? And again, you're welcome to apply. And if we can help you solve the problem, we will. But
exactly.
If we can't, I'll just straight up tell you, like, hey, I don't think you'll be a good fit. Because we typically work with XYZ kind of client, and this is the problem we solve. So okay, so you joined Reality Mastery 3 years ago. When did you hit your first 20K month?
Oh, great question. Not too long after that. I could look and tell you exactly through my tracking when I would say within 6 months. It was before the end of that year. So 2020, I don't know whether or not you remember, but there was a lot of like upheaval and crazy things going on.
Oh yeah, I remember you were messaging me.
But well, I mean, like just in terms of what was going on the planet externally. Yeah. So we won't go down that rabbit hole, but there was a lot going on. And so the reason I say that is because when I pulled the trigger on the program, I believe it was spring of 2020, it actually took me some time to be able to get into it and get focused on it and do it, right? So I don't think I did it. I definitely didn't do it perfectly initially because, frankly, there was just so much distraction.
Yeah.
We were very concerned about what was going on in Canada at the time. And that, while running a business, it was a lot. So all of that to say, it took me a little while to get in and get consistent with the work, but it was certainly within 6 months that I had my first 20K month. And maintained it and then grew from there. And then last November, I started hitting 50K months consistently, with the exception of 1 month. We had a dip 1 month, but yeah. Yeah, and I'm speaking in Canadian dollars, so that's not quite U.S. There's a difference between Canadian and U.S., but those were my goals. Those were my numbers. And
hey, as long as you hit your goals, I mean, you're happy. Yeah. That's all that matters at the end of the day, you know? Yeah. Okay, so what was the thing that you took away from the program that got you from 5 to 10K a month, staying stuck at that barrier, to 20K a month?
I think... anything, I'm not structured or analytical, right? Like that's not my zone. So like you teach in the program in terms of, you know, balancing the poles and right. So I have become like, I, you know, at one point I was far more introverted than extroverted, and I'm very balanced there. Right. So as I've done the work, I've become more balanced in terms of structure. So I guess, you know, where I'm going with this is anything that gives someone like me a very structured step-by-step system and process of pulling out of me the clarity that I need.
Okay.
So that is the focus, serves me big time, right? So I feel like I needed that structure and process. And I'm going to say the thing, if I had to pull one thing out of the whole program, it would be the manifesto, the personal, the
self-mastery
manifesto that I read daily. And I have fallen off the beam with that. I have not been a perfect student for sure. But mine's like 2.5 pages long typed out. So I don't know if that's, longer. I think that might be longer than what you suggest. But I can tell you that when I get up from reading that in the morning in particular, I'm different.
Nice.
Like it shifts me on it, so of all the things, like it's all of it because of the clarity that it pulls out of you.
Yeah.
Like you really crystallize it, right?
Yeah.
But that one, I'm going to tell you, honestly, I love it so much that I teach my own version of it to my clients in my new program because it was so impactful and they know where I got it. Right. It's the simple stuff I find.
Yeah.
That has the biggest impact. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, for everyone, it's different things. A lot of our clients say like, hey, when I learned about confirmations, everything just fell into place. Like I just felt, I could do anything because I'm just confirming every little thing and building up and snowballing up that programming in my mind. Others say, the self-mastery guide and the manifesto, it gets me started in the day really well. And like, I feel like that ideal person. So it's been amazing for me to see you went from someone who literally had, less than 1,000 YouTube subscribers doing 5 to 10K a month. Then you did it. You became a different version of yourself, 20K a month. Then you went to 250,000 subscribers. Now it's a big deal. Like a lot of people are watching like this, like your content is reaching, if you're getting 50,000-100,000 views on your videos, like it's reaching like small cities, you're impacting small cities, which is kind of crazy to think about. And now you're doing 50K a month. So what was the transition like in identity, I suppose, when you went from that version of you? Because when you're experiencing it, like we talked about initially, like what does it feel like to have a wealthy mind? I don't notice it. But when you look back, I'm sure you think about the predominant thoughts and feelings you had at the time when you're making 5 to 10K, the predominant thoughts and feelings you had when you're making 20K, and now when you're hitting 50K. So what were the three different versions of you that you can think of off the top of your head?
The three different versions of me or what that journey was like?
What that, either or.
Okay. For me, there was... In spite of the fact that I have always been quite fearless, I grew up in a family where, I'm just not intimidated by much. Nonetheless, internally, there was a lot of fear that I had to grapple with, and much of it not rational. Like it's not about rational fear, right? But it's irrelevant. It's, whether it's rational or irrational fear, you still, if you're carrying it, you have to address it. So there was a lot of fear, and it was fully about, worthiness, like owning worthiness. So, there's a parallel to the work that I do with my own clients in terms of, the wounded inner child healing and recovery work. So really, embracing those aspects of myself that didn't feel safe making a lot of money, didn't feel safe having a lot of money, that was terrified that they would be mad, even though they, and I know exactly who they are, haven't been in my life for some of them decades, some of them well over a decade, and will never have access to me again.
Yeah.
There was an aspect of me that, I had to work with to overcome fear. We throw the words limiting beliefs around a lot, but I mean, hey, that's the name of the game, you really have to get intimate with what those limiting beliefs are and work through them.
Yeah.
And reprogram them, which is what your program really helps us do. Overcoming fear and the worth and the value. My tagline from the time I started my coaching practice is know your value, unlock your freedom. It's been that since 2017, and it was really about embodying the valuable woman whose work is of high service, believing.
Like
just that whole process, right? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like it's already within you, but there's a barrier that's blocking you from realizing it. You're just lifting it. Because I like how you describe, like, it's bringing the clarity out. Because it's already within, just hasn't been, it just hasn't surfaced to the level that it needs to surface to in order to be applicable into this material physical realm. It's latent.
Exactly. And transmuting the things that don't need to be there anymore, that don't serve you. You know, yeah. There may have been a time where that fear serves me in terms of,
survival,
keeping me alive, yeah. Right? But I don't need it anymore. So I can put that down. But there's an aspect of me that doesn't know that until I love all over her enough and work with her long enough and mm-hmm. do the, you know, the internal work long enough. And long enough just means, you know, with some consistency, right? It doesn't actually take that long. It's just a function of being devoted and consistent with it, right? To where, you peel back the layers and you get to the valuable and what's cool, and this is what I've always loved about anything personal development, is that and spiritual, you know, and the overlap that this is in my view, right? Is it's an ongoing, never-ending evolutionary journey. Codependency recovery is too. Narcissistic abuse healing and recovery is too. It's an ongoing, never-ending, lifelong journey of becoming more and more of the truth of who you have always been.
Right. If you don't grow, you stagnate. Yeah. There is no
Some say you die. Some say you die.
Yeah, you know, there's really no like middle ground just coasting, because you're either always fighting to grow or striving to grow rather, or you're not growing and you're dying.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Exactly. So what's next? When have we seen the big 100K month?
Well, that is a goal that I'm working on. So, on one hand, there's, some attachment to that. And I'd like to see that happen before the end of the year. And I'm working on it. On the other hand, I've learned to hold on loosely, wear the world like a loose garment, right? So the intention is there.
Yeah.
And I do my part every day. Mm-hmm. And I know without question that I am actually, my internal work is actually beyond that. So the next step is six figures, but I've got my eye on triple what I'm doing now. So $150,000 months, right? Yeah. But, that's a direct reflection of who I'm impacting and how I'm serving. So my primary focus, right now, I've just recently launched another program called the Ascension Class, which is like the next level of growth after the Freedom Class, mm-hmm. where we do my version of identity shifting and reality creation, wealth consciousness expansion. I've wanted to teach on money for a long, long time. So I've incorporated that into this new program and the end of self-sabotage patterns. So for folks who are coming through healing and recovery from the issues that we've discussed, this is like the next level of growth, right?
Well, it's what you mastered. It's what you mastered.
Exactly.
You went through the first stage. And now you've been to the second stage. So,
exactly. It's the journey, right? So the Ascension Class launched a few months ago and we're having a lot of fun with it. And it's really about dialing that in for maximum service and impact for the right person. And I know that as long as my focus is there, that the big months are coming, because they're a reflection of the service that I'm putting out there. Right. So,
It's a reflection. All a reflection of who you are and how you're showing up. When you unlock your value, you unlock your freedom.
Exactly. Exactly. I
love it. Well, Tammy, thank you so much for coming on today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. So great to see you and great to chat with you.
You too,
so grateful for you and all that you've taught me. Like it's been a big part of the success that I've been able to create this last few years and ongoing. So thank you very much, Kwasi.
I'm really glad to hear that. I'm really glad to hear we were able to make an impact. So where can people find you?
TammyMcoaching.com. So that's TamieM as in Mary, coaching.com, or Tammy M. Joyce on YouTube.
Okay. So what I'll do is attach your socials in the description, and people will be able to click and find your stuff. But yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much. All right. Take care. Stay cool and beautiful.
Bye-bye.